And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And pleased to be joined, as we are on the fourth Friday of the month, by the Riley County Police Department. We've got Captain Tim Hagerty joining us in studio. Good morning.
Morning, Brandon.
And he's brought with him Melissa Mosier, who is the new Victim Advocate Coordinator for the RCPD. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's certainly a pleasure to have you both on. And, you know, we just had the law board meeting this week, and one of the topics was Melissa being introduced here, Tim, and I'll let you just kind of talk about her role with the police department.
I'll say a little bit, and then I'll turn it over to Melissa to introduce herself and talk about what she's been doing. It was a grant-funded position that we sought from the state under the Victims of Violent Crime Act. Specifically, it's a position we call the Victim Advocate Coordinator. And this position is designed to work with community service providers, with all the advocacy groups in the community, to make sure that victims of crime are receiving information about all the possible services, that if there are any gaps in the services, that she work with other providers in helping to fill those gaps, that we not duplicate services that are provided by others. And with this policy that we're going to talk about, we had that also in mind for her role, and she's done an outstanding job in spreading the word about this policy, and we'll have some public campaigns about that, and we'll probably get into that a little bit more. But right now, I think it's time for Melissa to introduce herself to Manhattan.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm actually new to the Manhattan area, so not only am I starting this job here at Riley County Police, but also learning about Manhattan as well. I am a native Kansas girl, grew up in Salina, made my chosen home in Kansas City. Actually spent a few years over in Uganda doing some work as well, but glad to be back stateside and settling here in Manhattan.
Great. And your background is in social work, is that right?
Mm-hmm. I've been a social worker now for 20 years, working with youth mainly, and program development. So law enforcement is new to me as well, and I've enjoyed the learning curve very, very much.
All right. When we hear the term victim advocate coordinator, and I remember when this grant-funded position came about a few months ago, but just kind of talk about what is it you hope to accomplish advocating for victims of crime?
Sure. I really see this job as kind of twofold. One is for the victim of crime, being a person that is available for emotional support, physical accompaniment if they need it, referral to resources that they may need during the investigation process. A lot of times victims of crime need to be informed and advocated for with each step of the investigative process, but also just to be a source to strengthen the relations with the police department out in the community, and talk to folks, organizations or citizens, just sharing what the police department is doing to make them safer.
And you'll be able to help with all kinds of victims of crime, not just sexual assault, right?
That's right. Not just sexual assault victims. Any victim of crime that is identified as needing an additional support service while the officers are doing their job and investigating their case. We definitely want citizens to recognize that not only are we focused on their case, but, you know, also their well-being as well.
All right. And this is a key piece, Captain Hagerty, I imagine, because some people maybe they don't feel comfortable maybe talking to a police officer about something.
And we were talking about that on the ride home, right over here, rather, that the reception that Melissa has received has been highly positive. And I think that is in part because we haven't done in recent years a very good job of community outreach, and we're trying to rectify that. And that's one of the things we hope to happen with this position. But you mentioned another factor that could be in play is that she is not a police officer. And so that many people will feel more comfortable in talking to her, reporting to her in this policy, There is a provision for third-party reporting of sexual assault, and Melissa may serve as one of those third parties. There may be someone who wants to report to the police department but does not want to report to a police officer. And so the option of reporting directly to Melissa, who can then pass along that information to us, we think is a valuable tool.
Yeah, and you know, and those situations and many, many situations of those kind of crimes, they're difficult because it's a traumatic experience, and maybe people don't always know at that time that they're a victim of a crime.
Well, you point out the correct word is trauma, and particularly sexual assault. And as you pointed out, Melissa's going to work with lots of crime victims, but the driving force was sexual assault victims. And as it ties to this policy and our desire for an increase in reporting as we talk to the law board, when we come back to them a year from now, we hope to be able to report a significant increase in the number of rape reports, whether they be at information reports or partial investigations or complete investigations. And in order for people to feel comfortable in doing that, because it's a very underreported crime, victims are often not very comfortable in reporting to the police. And if having a non-police officer available for them to talk to breaks down those barriers, and that is one of the key goals of this policy, is to break down the barriers to reporting. And we have, as police, put up some of those barriers ourselves by the way we do business. And so this is a change. So having Melissa out there talking about this policy and what the police department is now trying to do, I think is often received with a little bit more open ears than it would be coming from me, for example.
All right. Well, Melissa, I know you haven't been on the job long, since early September, is that right?
Yes.
What's the experience been like? Have you had a chance to interact with some victims already?
I have, yeah, as well as getting out and learning about the services that are even available to citizens within Manhattan. Been very impressed by the level of services and the collaborations. You know, as a social worker and a professional, you can't do a job alone. You need partners, you need collaborators. So getting out into the community, meeting some of the service providers, not only here on K-State, as well as Fort Riley, we're, you know, all in this together to be able to help someone. So having meetings, learning about social services, just learning the climate of Manhattan has been really, really helpful.
All right. You talked about working over in Uganda. Was this kind of a similar role that you did over there with social work?
Very different. I worked with youth developing a sponsorship program over there. Fantastic opportunity.
Okay. I just wanted to see if that tied in here somehow.
No, it didn't. But, the role of just being able to develop a program and reaching out and collaborating has helped me a lot. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the policy change here that was adopted, I guess, on Monday.
Yes. So there are three objectives of this policy. And number one is to break down the barriers to reporting. And the second objective is to identify serial perpetrators. We're aware that with this type of crime, as well as with any type of crime, a small number of offenders are responsible for a large proportion of the crime. And we can't identify that small number, those who are involved in serial perpetration of rape, unless we get reports. So that's the second objective, to identify serial perpetrators. So the more reporting we get, the more repeat names we can find. And then once we identify a serial perpetrator, targeting that person for incarceration and imprisonment. So the end goal is a reduction in rape, but there's a three-step process. We need to get more reports of the crime that's happening. So when we report on a quarterly basis crime statistics, and in any category, we're reporting on those crimes which have been reported, not that have occurred. So if there is an increase or decrease in the numbers that we report, it's not because there necessarily that there's been an increase or decrease in that particular crime, let's say rape, for example. And let's say next quarter there was an increase by 20. That's an increase in 20 reported rapes. It's not an increase in rape itself necessarily. So we need more reporting. And the more reporting we have, the more repeat names as offenders will appear. And then we can prosecute those, target those in the same way we would target any repeat offender. And we already have a repeat offender program. But one, it's not specific to this type of crime, but we felt it was very important to pursue this option, and we've been developing it for a couple of years. And the other key factor is that it gives control of the investigation over to the victim. So if the victim reports, this is what happened, and I don't want you to do anything about it, I just want you to have it on record, that's all that we'll do. So we'll keep it in our system and do nothing else with it unless the victim were to recontact us and want something else. We'll do a partial investigation in which a victim may say, you can talk to my friends who were there. You can obtain this evidence that I have control over, but I don't want you to do anything else. And at that point, we would stop. And that's called a partial investigation. Or someone may wish a complete investigation and prosecution, and that's what it would result in. And a victim is allowed to, at any point, to escalate or de-escalate our participation. So someone who has asked for a partial investigation only may get to the point where, you know what, I want this person prosecuted, so I'm willing to go for a full investigation. Or we may get to the point where we're ready to present a case to the county attorney's office, and the victim says, I've changed my mind. I do not want to go through this. Then it doesn't get presented to the prosecutor. So we're giving control to a victim who had something very traumatic occur to them over which they had little to no control. And we hope that in and of itself is promising enough to increase the reporting. And we know that it's going to take a while to build the momentum to get the word out. And we are developing public campaigns, information campaigns. Melissa is working with our PIO, Haley Rowland, in developing two campaigns, one for the general public and one specifically for the Kansas State University population, because that's a different population. And in fact, that's the population from whom we'd like to see the greatest increase. As I reported to you from that news story in the Kansas City Star, of these 33 colleges that were surveyed, and KU was one of them, 15% of those who participated in the survey said that they were raped during the course of their college years, and 25% reported a sexual assault of some type. So we know it's going on, and we want to do whatever we can to put an end to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a good point here. And, you know, I'm just curious if there is a case where there's a victim who presents information, they decide they don't want to continue on, but then there's another victim from the same perpetrator, and they do want to prosecute, what's the situation there?
So that would give us then an opportunity, if we've had contact with the first victim in your case, to then go back to that victim and say, the person that you identified as the perpetrator in your case has been identified as a perpetrator in another case or maybe two other cases, and are you willing now to participate in a complete investigation so that we can incarcerate this individual? And our hope is that person would say yes, but it's still their call. So you've identified another key that we hope will happen, that we can then go back and a victim would be willing to escalate the investigation to a complete investigation, thereby strengthening the case that we have against a serial perpetrator. And serial perpetrators behave in ways that are different than someone who doesn't consciously do this. Let's take college campuses, for example, and acquaintance rape is very common. But it's also very common for the perpetrator to believe that he has been given consent when, in fact, statutorily, the victim was not in a condition to give consent. That's different from the person who knowingly seeks out people and victims for sexual assault, specifically knowing full well that they are not in a position to give consent. So two different type of suspects. And it's that second offender, the one who goes out that, with that in mind more than once, more than twice, and this serial perpetrator. That's who we really want to target with this policy.
All right. I got to take a break. Let's come back more with RCPD after this on News Radio KMAN.